The Lord is speaking very specifically about this issue for a particular reason. I am not one, and you've heard me say this many a time, that gives titles to messages. But the Lord gave me one for this one. And the title of it is Destroying the Spirit of Fear and Intimidation. Destroying the Spirit of Fear and Intimidation. One of the things that the enemy tries to accomplish and has done so very successfully in the lives of a great number of believers is to establish fear. It is one of the strongest forces that the enemies use to capture the hearts of God's people and redirect their lives. To accomplish that, he intimidates. The enemy comes and tries to intimidate us by piling up and focusing our attention on the propensity of the possibilities of failure because of the amount of enemies that he has positioned to come against us. And so many a time, even though we believe that God is, when we look at the circumstance, our hearts fail. And especially in these end times, the Word of God says, the hearts of men will fail them because of the things that will be happening in the world. And so it was with the great king, Jehoshaphat. This is a passage of scripture that I've shared with you quite often. And when the Lord brought me back to this particular passage and said he wanted to talk to us about this, he also conjoined this particular passage with another passage I'm certain I just spoke from not too long ago about David and Goliath. I said, Lord, why are you bringing me back to these scriptures? Is this because my people need to get the word? They've not settled it. And this is an issue that we need to settle. Fear is not part of our lives. The word of God says God has not given us. It is something God has not given us. He has not given to us fear. And what God has not given to you, you must not receive. You must not embrace. You must not cherish. And so today, in the name of Jesus Christ, let us say together, I denounce and reject fear. Amen. About 2 weeks ago, I believe we were coming in from the States, and Mama was watching a documentary on the screen in the plane, and she turns to me and she says, "Fear is located here." I said, "What are you talking about? Fear is located here." He said, "I'm watching it. Fear is located here." I said, "Huh?" He said, "Don't you see what they are wearing?" And I'm looking, the reflection from the sun was blocking my view, and I'm sitting and finally after a while I saw it. What I was seeing a man diving and was dealing with sharks. And the shark will come and He will press the nose and the shark will swim away. But the reason he was able to stay in that water was because he had a protective shield right here. And so the shark could not sense fear. And so anybody could go and swim with sharks with this particular protective thing right there that shielded them from the shark sensing fear. I say, wow, interesting. So that's where fear is located. That's where it emanates from. Is there any wonder the Word of God says that we should take the shield of faith so we can quench every fiery dart of the enemy? Why? Because God has given to you the spirit of fear. Dogs, animals sense fear. And if an animal like a dog can sense fear, you can be certain that the devil can sense fear. And when the enemy senses fear, he comes and he will harass and destroy that life. But the Word of God tells us, it says that perfected love will cast out fear. Amen. Hallelujah. Cast it out from where? From you. When you know that God loves you, fear must be dissipated. It must leave you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, when it says in verse 1, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. People came and told Jehoshaphat, you've got a whole host, a multitude coming against you, until they told him that there were enemies coming. He was just a happy camper. No problem. And then they told him, and what happens? It says, and Jehoshaphat what? Feared. The Bible says, whose report shall you believe? If you believe every report that comes your way, I can tell you this day that you will be a person who lives a very fearful life. You cannot afford to believe everything that you hear. What you need to believe at all times, no matter how true the circumstance is to believe God. Is it true that these forces were coming against him? Absolutely. To doubt that is to be foolish. To doubt your circumstance is to be foolish. But to believe God in spite of your circumstance, that's wisdom. You must attach yourself to what God said and then face your circumstance. Don't deny the reality of your circumstance. If the doctor comes and says, you've got cancer, to say, I don't have cancer, it's not the truth, might be true, but to think that that cancer is not there will cause you to die. What you need to do is acknowledge that it's there, but acknowledge that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. Amen? Amen? We're healed. And it's not I am going to be healed. I am already healed. Hallelujah. You take the word of God as a sword of the Spirit and you cut the head of that snake off. Tell the devil to shut up. Amen. To turn your back at your enemy is to expose yourself to be shot at. What is the purpose of faith as a shield if it is not true that there are fiery darts being shot? You must acknowledge that you've got an enemy, but fear must not be what you embrace. Amen? So the Bible says, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Praise the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. He said, all of you here in Judah, we're going on a fast. And that's what we are doing right now. We're on a fast. And we're on a fast because we know we have a real enemy. So Jehoshaphat calls this fast. But he doesn't stop there. The word of God tells us. He says, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. When you are afraid, what you need to do is turn to the one who will never be afraid. Hallelujah. It's to turn to the one who is more than any enemy. One with him is a majority. You turn to God. He says, Jehoshaphat sought the face of God. He turned his face towards God to seek him and to ask God to help him. He says, all the people did that. And when they did that, seeking the face of God, he says, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, not the old court. The new court. Amen? The new word, a fresh word, established. And what does he do? He does something that everyone that needs to destroy the spirit of fear must do. He reminds himself about who God is. Hallelujah. When you are afraid, remind yourself about who your God is. He says, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? Are you not God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In that sense, God, you're not just God in heaven. You're not just God over my life. You are God over them, whether they like it or not. Amen? You have authority and you have power over all. And this circumstance shall not overthrow your will in my life. This challenge shall not stand in your way. You are God over all. Amen? That's the first thing you begin to do, to remind yourself about who God is. He says, and in thine hand is there not power and might so that none is able to withstand thee? You are the God that cannot be withstood. You are the God that cannot be resisted. You are the God that cannot be stopped. You are the God that cannot be stomped on. You are God and you reign forever. Art not thou God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? This promise and this property that you have given is a forever blessing. It was not temporary. My salvation was not temporary. My healing was not temporary. The blessing and prosperity on my life was not temporary. You bless me and you bless my children, and the devil cannot take anything that you've given to me. Devil, get out of here. It's a forever blessing. Hallelujah. Somebody say, it's a forever blessing. Say it again, it's a forever blessing. God's blessings are not temporary. His salvation is not temporary. His healing is not temporary. His favor is not temporary. His goodness is not temporary. God is a faithful God, and He will do gracious things in your life and in my life, and He will cause us to explode and do extraordinary things in the world. Somebody shout, hallelujah. He turns around and he begins to remind himself about the promises of God. He says, God, you promise, if when evil cometh upon us, and yeah, this is evil right here, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house. He says, no matter what the problem is, your promise is whenever there's a problem, and we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. Praise the Lord. I remember many years ago, I don't know how many of you have taken this to heart and have utilized the opportunity. The Lord said, if any one of my sons or daughters in this house is going through an issue and it seems to not be moving, let them come before this altar and let them talk to me right here. I will hear them. I don't know if you've taking time to just come. Place yourself right here before the Lord. God says, I will be here. I am here waiting for you. Some of you have issues that have not moved, and meanwhile, God is here waiting for you. It is a sanctified place for His glory to be made manifest. Hallelujah. So he reminds himself of the promise that God made, that he will hear and he will help if they come to that house. Well, wait a minute. What house? The house of God Solomon had built. And in 2 Chronicles, the Bible tells us, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, the temple is filled with the glory of God, and the mercy of God is being established. Actually, the word of God says in verse 3 of chapter 7, it says, and when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for His good, for His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. When I came to the house of the Lord this morning and I cried out to the Lord, I reminded the Lord, I said, God, let your glory fall in this house today. And I believe that the glory of God is in this place. It is touching every man and every woman. And we declare this day, God is good and His mercy endureth forever. Somebody shout hallelujah. He's a faithful God. Here they were. In 2 Chronicles 7, 14, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayers that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Jehoshaphat remembered that. And so he moved himself, his royal self, to the house of God. And he stood there and said, God, you said, if we come here, that you will hear us and that you will help us. You need to find a place in God. Because sometimes it's not your house that God will meet you at. Jehoshaphat had this palace. He could pray there. But God said, I'm going to meet you here. And God has given us a promise. I am going to meet you here. And I want to challenge every one of you to try God out and come before him and say, God, you said that if I come here, you will hear me. I am here. Heal me of my barrenness. I am here. Heal me and deliver me from my poverty. I am here. Heal me and deliver me from this sickness and from this disease. I am here. I present myself before you. I know I can pray in my house. Sure I can. I know I can lift up my holy hands in my house. And that you are everywhere present. But God, you said to come here. And so I present myself here to meet with you so that this need is forever eradicated from my life. Where has God marked out for you to meet with him? Anyhow, you now have to focus in on who God is and then on the promises of God. He points now to his enemy and he says, and now, behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldst not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast give us to inherit. Which thou hast what? Give us. That is a form of a present tense continuous. Because he's saying, yes, you've given, but you keep on giving. In other words, no matter whatever the enemy tries to do, it is still mine. It is your possession, and Lord, you are giving it to me. Hallelujah. The blessings of the Lord, they are sure. Praise the Lord. God, you bless me. And the enemy wants to take from me what you have blessed me with. The devil's a liar. I do not lose what God has given and continues to give to me. I retain it. I keep it. Hallelujah. You kicked them out and gave me this turf. It's mine. Somebody say, it's mine. It's mine. The blessing is mine. Not the curse, the blessing. Hallelujah. God says, oh yes, they're trying to come curse you, but I am superseding their cursing with blessings. I keep on blessing you. I will keep on blessing you. I will keep on increasing you. You will be fruitful and you will multiply. And you will testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he says, oh God, intervene. Verse 12, oh our God, will thou not judge them? Mama read from Isaiah 59 about justice. God, I need justice. Hallelujah. Judge them. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I know I don't have the power, I don't have the ability. This is too much for me. And I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. I don't have an answer for this problem. But God, my eyes are upon thee. I know that you know something that I don't know. So he cries out to God. Remind yourself that God knows what is needed. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And in verse 15, he goes on and he says, hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid. Don't be what? Afraid. Nor dismayed. Don't allow yourself to be overwhelmed by reason of this great multitude. Why? For the battle is not yours, but God's. In Isaiah 41 and verse 10, Isaiah 41 and verse 10, God very clearly speaks to the people of God. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. The reason you are not to be afraid is because God is with you. God, you are with me. To be afraid when God is with you is to insult the integrity of God, is to belittle God. It is to have faith, more faith in your circumstance or in your enemy than the God who is with you. Do you understand? If God is with you, and then you are shaking in your boots, then you don't believe that he's there. Or if you believe that he's there, you believe that the enemy is greater than him. Then why are you worshiping him? Go worship the enemy. Because you think that that enemy is greater than him. But if you truly believe that God is greater than your circumstance, then you need not be afraid. But why are we afraid when God is with us? We are afraid when God is with us because we don't believe God is with us. And the reason we don't believe that God is with us is because we don't believe that God loves us. When you know that God loves you and has promised never to leave you nor forsake you, you have no reason to be afraid. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Why are you afraid? God loves me. He has chosen me. He has adopted me. He picked me out of the gutter. God loves, someone say, God loves me. And I know it. Hallelujah. 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 You know the problem? We see a financial situation and we think, oh my goose is cooked. I'm done. I'm finished. Because our faith and our focus is on that circumstance. But we can do something better and say, God, you are God and you reign supreme. I look to you to provide and meet all of my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You saw this problem before I saw it. I may be seeing it now, but Lord, oh God, you knew about this, and I trust you to be the perfect answer for this problem. Do you know that there is not one problem that you are facing today that surprised God? Let me say it again, just in case you didn't hear me. There's not one problem that you're facing now or will ever face that will be a surprise to God. Therefore, there is always a solution. Say it with me, there is always a solution to any problem I will ever face, because God is the answer. Amen? He is the answer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is the answer. Not one problem is going to overwhelm you. Praise the Lord. God is our salvation. In verse 17, God says, move back. Sit down, relax. I'll take care of it. He says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. You're not going to need to fight. Why, Lord? What am I supposed to do? He says, set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Huh? With you? Yeah. See the salvation of the Lord with you. What is that? God said, I want you to see differently. See that salvation is with you. It is what you see that will be made manifested unto you. If you see failure, you have failed. If you see death, you are dead. If you see salvation, you are saved. See. What do you see? Bankruptcy? You're bankrupt. That's what you see. You see poverty? You're poor. God says, I want you to see differently. I want you to see salvation with you. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them. Wait a minute. I thought you just said you're not going to need to fight. What do you mean go against them? You said set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation. What is this? Go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Why am I going anywhere? When I'm standing still. Well, the standing still and setting yourself is God saying to you, I want you to get something settled. Get this settled, that you are saved, Get this settled that you are rich. Get this settled that you are healed. Get this settled that you are blessed and highly favored. And every action you take henceforth will be not an act based on fear, but a boldness based on the truth that you know. That you're not going to the doctor's office all shaking. Oh, I hope I get a good report. No, 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 no. It's not I hope I get a good report. You go there knowing I have a good report. Hallelujah. I'm just going to hear him tell me what I already know. I am the healed of the Lord. Praise the Lord. What do you know to be true? What do you know to be true? What is it that you have settled in your spirit? Nobody else can do it for you but you. We can pray all we want for people, and if they don't have it settled that they are the blessed of the Lord, it doesn't matter. A double-minded man cannot receive anything from God. You got to be settled. Plant yourself firmly. I believe the report of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah? Hallelujah? Praise the Lord. He said, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of Kohites and the children of the Kohites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. Praise. So I say praise. Praise. They began to praise God. Was there a problem in front of them? Absolutely. But now they are praising the Lord with a loud voice on high. Amen. That's positioning yourself in heavenly places. Amen? Recognizing the Most High God. They worshiped. The priests began to worship. The people began to worship. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be what? Established. Believe in the Lord your God. That's how you're going to be set down, settled. I believe God, but watch the next thing. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. So shall you advance. So shall you progress. Progress what? In defeating the spirit of fear. It is the prophetic word that you receive that helps you to break that stronghold of fear. The prophetic word. You receive it. You settled in the integrity of the word of God. And that word that's released unto you by the prophet of God, you take a hold of that word and you say, I can do it. Amen? I can what? Do it. The reason we do not do what God wants is because we do not believe that God is who he says he is. And secondly, we do not believe the prophet. One of the key things that the devil will do is to cause you not to believe the prophet that God has raised up for you. The enemy, he's a bad enemy. He wants you to doubt the prophetic word. So this man of God does something. He consulted with the people. Verse 21. They appoint singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went before the army, and were to go before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Where did they get that from? From the dedication of the temple. We just read that, 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 3. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Now they said, praise the Lord. And what are they saying when they said, praise the Lord? They're saying, God is a good God, and his mercy endures forever. God is good. His mercy endures forever. God is good. His mercy endures forever. And they are pronouncing it and declaring this. And as they're doing that, they go, and what happens? And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. They were what? Smitten. Why? Because the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, and they wiped them out. They killed all of them. And after they killed the people of Mount Seir, they turned against each other. And they started killing each other until they all killed each other. And Israel had not picked anything to fight. Just like God said, this battle is not yours. You're not going to need to fight, but you're going to need to move. After you're settled, you're going to need to move. But how are we going to move? Praise God. Praise is an act of thanksgiving. We praise God as the expression of thanksgiving, knowing that God has already done what he promised he will do. Somebody shout hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18 says, perfected love will cast out fear. Amen? There is no fear in love. No fear. It is not present in love. Now the word of God says, God is what? Love. Yeah? God is what? Love. So the word of God is saying, there is no fear in God. Amen? No fear in God. And if that God lives inside of you, then there is no fear what? In you. Praise the Lord. No fear in you. So that brings me to this. If there's no fear in me, what is the shield of faith about? And what are the fiery darts of the enemy? The fiery darts of the enemy are darts of fear. Because there's no fear in you. But the enemy wants to shoot fear into you. Are you with me? That's what he wants to bring into your life, because you don't have it. God didn't give it to you. And if you do not use the word of God to quench the fiery darts of the enemy, by you using the word of God to remind yourself about who God is, what his promises are, and who you are in him, that you are the beloved of God, then fear is going to take root in you. So you quench it. Say, I know who God is. I know he's true to his word, and he has chosen me. Amen? While I was yet a sinner, Christ died. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So even when I blow it and I've messed up royally, when I remember that God knew and knows and continues to know, past, present, future, and all of it is a now thing in his presence, and yet came and died for me to save me, I must now see salvation is with me. Because the way the enemy will cause you to now live in fear is to doubt that God is still with you. God is no longer with me. Why is God not with you? Because I blew it. I messed up. But the word of God says, if we sin, that he is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? You repent. That's what you do. You turn from your wicked ways and you look unto the author and the finisher of your faith. The Bible says, faith worketh by what? Love. So if you don't have love, your faith is not going to work. And fear will cause you to be intimidated and humiliated. That's the way it goes. But when you know that you're loved of God, hey, all is well. Praise the Lord. Now let me begin to wrap up. 1 Samuel chapter 17. David is going to meet with Goliath. He's going to have to deal with this adversary that the children of Israel consistently have been fleeing from. The enemy for 40 days terrorized the people of God. Every day, Goliath will come and yell out his words, and the people of God every time ran away, scared, afraid, knowing that they are defeated. The battle is not even started, and they are defeated. But it's amazing to me how pretentious they were, because Eliab, the eldest son of Jesse, says in verse 28 of 1 Samuel 17, he says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. What battle? There was no battle. You were busy running. I know your pride. You came here to see the fighting. David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? There's a giant there terrorizing us. And you want me to do what? Goliath, his name means naked and ashamed. And that's what happens. Sin came into the garden, and Adam and Eve are running and hiding. And the reason is because they were what? Naked and what? Ashamed. As long as the enemy causes you to see naked and ashamed, you will always run away because you do not know that salvation is with you. Do you understand? Fear is sin-rooted. Fear. It's rooted in sin when you do not know that you are still loved. So they were taken off. And here is David. He comes there. He sees the situation. He takes a hold of the promise. What did the king promise again? Promise you're going to marry his daughter. Your family is going to be free from slavery and you won't have to pay taxes. He says, say that again, say that again, say that again. He's reminding himself of the promise. And now he reminds himself of what God did because he carries his staff with him. The Bible says in verse 40, 1 Samuel 17:40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in his scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bore the shield went before him. And the Philistine looked about and saw David. He disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, with a stick, with a rod? What is this rod? It's the rod that shepherds will mark out of the things that have happened in their lives, the victories, the battles they have won. And in there, he, I'm sure, had marked out about the lion and the bear that were defeated. And so when he held on to that stick, he was remembering, God has won many battles for me before. Every time I face a challenge, I remind myself, God did this before. He solved this problem before. I don't know how he's going to solve it this time, but he has solved it already before. So I know he will do it again. Amen? Remind yourself. Remind yourself. What did God do in the past? David had that. And now he takes his stones because he remembers the word of God. Whoever blasphemes shall be stoned. So he picks the stones because this guy is a blasphemer. And the word says, I can stone him. Hallelujah. What did God say to do? If anyone be sick, call on the elders of the church. Let them pray, and the prayer of faith. That's what the word of God says. So I go. If you're afflicted, you pray. Don't call anybody. You pray. You start calling other people when the situation is just for you to deal with, you don't get the answer. You do it according to what God said. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army. Who? To meet the Philistine. David hasted and ran toward the army. He already said, I'm going to kill all of you. Goliath is not just you. All of you, the enemy, they are going today. So he ran towards the enemy in a different direction. And you can see Goliath saying, what is this kid doing? Is he running away from me? No, no, no. You're dead, man. The guy has only one small little hole open. I don't care how good a masked man you are. You're not going to get this. Except that this was God's battle. Amen? It is God that you came to challenge. The God who says, I will prosper you. That's the God you came to challenge. The God who's my good shepherd and says, you shall lack nothing. You came to challenge that God. This battle is not mine. You're challenging his integrity. He's going to show to you that I am chosen. I am blessed. I am healed. I am highly favored. He's true to his word. Hallelujah. That's who. You're not relying on your ability. You are relying on God's ability. And I don't care where that stone was going. God was aiming it right. Why? The man was not afraid. You see a big Goliath there and you're running towards him, man. Find somewhere to duck your head. His shield is bigger than you. His sword is bigger than you. You couldn't even wear Saul's armor. You want to go deal with this guy? But the man of God is running towards him. And the closer he gets, the bigger Goliath is. It's like God was zooming in. And David is saying, ah, you're so big, I cannot miss. Psst. Hallelujah. You will not miss the target in Jesus' name. Every enemy must come down in the mighty name of Jesus. Victory is ours. By the authority of his everlasting word. Amen. 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 Somebody say, fear.
Fear.
You are defeated. You are cut down to nothing. I am, by the grace of God, more than a conqueror. The word of God says in Isaiah 59 and verse 19, when the enemy comes against you, God will raise a standard. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. You see, that comma there is not inspired. It should be right by the end. When the enemy shall come in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up his standard against him. Amen? God is going to flood and drown the enemy, just like he did at the Red Sea. The enemies that you see today, you shall see no more. In the name of Jesus, I declare victory is yours. Victory is mine. Victory is ours. Do you receive it? Then shout a big hallelujah like thunder. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. We thank you, Lord, that fear and intimidation are eradicated from our lives. We will not move in fear. And we will not be intimidated by anything or by anyone. For this day, we acknowledge your lordship over our lives, and not just over our lives, but over all, everyone. No matter who they are, you are Lord. And in the name and by the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord forever. And all of gospel together in agreement said, yes and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. To God be the glory. I want to thank God for the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. But this morning, I want to do a little bit more. I'm going to cut off from those that are listening online. If you want to know personally what I'm going to be doing now, then I'm going to ask for you to send me an email asking details about what we are going to do now, because I'm going to cut off from you. But you may want to, you know, send an email and say, what did you do after the preaching of the word, and how can I participate in it, and I'll let you know. Okay? Just send an email to info@MikeZenoMinistries, and I'll respond to you. Or secondly, you can send it to Zeno, Z-I-N-O, at Shaw, Shaw.ca, and we'll respond to you through that means. Amen? Praise the Lord.